Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. What is the third most popular book in the UK? Well, it is the His Dark Materials trilogy of novels by author Philip Pullman. This series of fantasy, mystery, and adventure stories is perhaps as popular as Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and The Chronicles of Narnia. It was made into a film, but that didn't really capture the intense enjoyment of the original story. All the books are available as audiobooks, narrated by the author himself and a full cast of other actors. And these books are very well rated on Audible.com. One reviewer here says this about the book: "My entire family has gotten hooked on this book to the extent that we look for reasons to get in the car and drive with it. I was so enthralled that we ran out of gas. Imaginative premise, interesting and well-developed characters, and many plot twists. I thought you could not top Jim Dale reading the Harry Potter stories, but this is right up there." You can download it free, everyone, by visiting audibletrial.com/teacherluke, or just click one of the Audible buttons on my website. I'll tell you more about the UK's favourite books in the future, but now let's get started with this episode. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello there, welcome back to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. Did you listen to the first part in this series? I was talking to a friend of mine called Marcus Keeley. He comes from Belfast in Northern Ireland. He was just in town for the weekend to do a bit of sightseeing with his girlfriend and also to do some comedy shows in town as well. And of course, I jumped at the opportunity to have a genuine sort of accent from Northern Ireland in there. And also, I just find Marcus to be quite fun conversation. As I said, he is a comedian. He's also an improviser and a poet and many other things. And as I said, he comes from Belfast in Northern Ireland. So this series, which is actually three episodes, is just a chance for us to hear a bit of the Northern Irish accent and also to consider some of the issues that surround this part of the UK. All right, so in the first one, we got to know Marcus a little bit. And now in part two, we're going to turn to focus on Northern Ireland itself. So we'll be looking at some of the history, some of the politics, and some of the other stuff that you might want to do there if you visit as a tourist. So interesting episode, hopefully, which will reveal various things about the Northern Ireland that you perhaps didn't know before. So keep listening and stay tuned for part three, which should arrive soon. Don't forget that we invite you always to leave your comments on teacherluke.co.uk so you can kind of join the conversation. All right, that's it for this introduction. Let's carry on now with this conversation that I had with Marcus up on the roof of my building recently. Okay, here we go. Right, so let's move on to just have a look at Northern Ireland, because I did say at the beginning of the episode that my listeners who come from many countries around the world, they might not know that much about Northern Ireland. It's often a bit overlooked. People often see the UK as just London or Edinburgh or Oxford and Cambridge, maybe Manchester, Stonehenge, and a few other famous spots. But Northern Ireland is rarely mentioned. This might be because the UK is a bit confusing. People aren't completely sure exactly how Ireland and Northern Ireland fit into it. Obviously, the Republic of Ireland is not part of the UK. It's a republic. But Northern Ireland is. So I expect that people are also aware that there has been trouble in Northern Ireland in the past. We call it the Troubles, with the IRA and the sectarian conflict and so on. But there's more to it than that. It's not Northern Ireland is not defined by that, although obviously that's a part of the story. So I'd like to try and let my listeners know a little bit more of what it's really like to live in Northern Ireland. Of course, it's a huge subject because there's all the history and there's all the politics and everything. We can't necessarily deal with all of it. But, you know, as a Northern Irish person, maybe you can just sort of tell us what it's really like from the inside. When you meet people from other countries, do they have a sort of fixed idea, or do you find that people have stereotypes about Northern Ireland?
Well, a lot of the time, whenever you would meet someone from a different place, most of the time it would be, you know, in a pub or something, and they are always taken aback by how friendly we are,
right,
as a people. And generally, those sorts of difficult questions about the history and whatnot don't really come up until they feel comfortable enough to ask.
Right.
And then whenever they do ask, we tend to just go, well, we don't have all the time in the world. But from a visitor's perspective, it's you know, stuff has happened. There's still some level of something going on, but nowhere near what it used to be. The streets aren't dangerous. Mm. Stuff isn't blowing up. There's still, you know, disagreements and bickering, but it's getting to that point where there's been so many generations since.
Yeah.
That people like myself and people around my age wouldn't really... We would, you know, be obviously very well informed and know the whole story, but we're not essentially going to be looking to push that agenda either, because we have other things in our life. Because the globalization of the world, although it was already a globe to begin with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We will answer questions if asked, but we, generally speaking, if we see a foreign person, we're not going to... Foreign person. If we see someone who's not from where... from Northern Ireland, we're not going to go out and go, come here to Italy, see down there, I know someone who was shot down there. You know what I mean? We're not going to start pushing it unless, you know, there are tours for that sort of thing, who I've seen shot tours, the mural tours, Titanic tours, Game of Thrones tours.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Titanic and Game of Thrones.
Mm.
So, I mean, basically... Okay, I mean, I doubt that there's anyone listening to this who would go to Northern Ireland and go, well, here I am in Northern Ireland, I better start talking about the troubles.
Yeah.
There's a pub, I'll go in there, and they're like, right, tell me about explosions, go.
Yeah.
They're unlikely to do that. But I think in people's minds, we need to get a bigger picture, we need to get more... I mean, you know, if you're in the pub, you're probably more likely to want to talk about anything, really. Comedy, you know.
Well, we're probably going to be more interested in where that person's from,
right?
And say, well, the first question always is, what are you doing here? Which doesn't mean to be like, and what are you doing here and get away. It's just more, why have you come here?
Yeah.
Like, we do have stuff, you know, like the Titanic and the Game of Thrones. There's more industry here now, but generally speaking, if anyone's in Belfast or Northern Ireland for more than 2 or 3 days, we're kind of wondering what they're doing, because you could easily go through a lot of stuff in that time that you would get a, you know, full, rich enough experience.
Mm-hmm.
Belfast is kind of a good place to set out from and come back to. So there's a lot of stuff up in the north coast and in the country. The countryside's really nice.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. But yeah, if anyone does come to Northern Ireland, someone will inevitably ask, what are you doing here? It doesn't mean I'm going to kill you. Just like, we want to know why you're here.
Yeah.
Just because... You know, maybe you have something that we don't, which is great about this place.
But if people are visiting the UK, Northern Ireland is not a place that they should miss. I mean, there's good stuff to see and stuff to do.
Yeah. No, there's as much as anywhere else, really. You know, we are more. I would say we are especially friendly to people who are travelling through, because we are very conscious of our history and we do want to show people a good time.
Yeah.
So don't go away with this preconceived idea.
Yeah.
Which they're unlikely to do, because once they actually get here, they'll just go, all right, well, this is pleasant enough.
Yeah.
I've got enough out of this.
Would you recommend anything, not just in the Belfast area, but just in the country as a whole?
Well, there's the typical stuff like the Giant's Causeway.
The Giant's Causeway.
That's a rock formation. I'm really selling it. It's a rock formation.
It's an amazing rock formation, though.
It's really nice up on the north coast. Formed millions of years ago. See, I haven't even been to it.
I haven't been to it either.
No, but it looks really good.
It does. I mean, the Giant's Causeway, it's one of those things that you would see in a picture in the National Geographic magazine, right? It's one of those amazing things, because it's... So it was formed with volcanic rock,
mm-hmm.
that came out of the water or near the water or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what?
So it was hexagonal stones that they do look very nice. Even the Simpsons went there, so that shows that you should go there too.
There you go. It's one of the many wonders of the world.
Yeah.
Not just one of the seven, but if you expand the list, then it's in there.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the top 40, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but anyway, there's that, and obviously we're known as well for. Like the Irish Open, the golf, there's plenty of golf courses. Bill Murray likes the golf in Northern Ireland, I believe.
Yeah.
Who else? Rihanna shot a music video in Belfast once.
Oh, yeah.
Love in a Hopeless Place. A friend of mine who's actually an artist in Loft was in the video for that.
Right.
And Rihanna dislocated his shoulder.
I'm not surprised because, I mean, Rihanna seems like she could dislocate your shoulder.
Yeah, initially, if you're like, I'm going to fight Rihanna, then you really think about it, you're like, I don't know.
She looks like a warrior.
Yeah.
I mean, she's amazing. But she does look like she could dislocate your shoulder with her legs.
Yeah. just flying kick.
Yeah, or with her thighs or something.
But it was that in the music video when they're in the field all jumping up and down. Uh-huh. It's quite tightly shot because there's only about 12 of them. And apparently it was very, very grim and not that fun. But he's in there and his shoulder dislocated.
How did she dislocate his shoulder?
He just bumped into him at the wrong point.
She like twerked into him or something.
Yeah, does she twerk?
I think she twerks.
She also twerks. Right?
Yeah,
I have to get on that. Don't know. What else is there? There's plenty of things.
You mentioned the Titanic because the Titanic originally was built in Belfast in Northern Ireland, right?
Yeah, there's a whole Titanic Centre experience. It's not a Titanic Museum, in case people are going and looking for artifacts. We don't have that. But it's the whole from, you know, the plans and the shipyards and then the fateful journey. And you can buy loads of things in the gift shop. It's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do.
You said Game of Thrones is filmed in Northern Ireland?
A lot of the outside stuff. But we have the Titanic Paint Hall Studios, I think they're called, where a lot of stuff is filmed there. So Game of Thrones is filmed here. And we always feel bad for those people because all these Hollywood stars, obviously, they have to spend months on end in Belfast. And everything shuts at one. And, you know...
Everything shuts at one what? One
like bars.
1 a.m.?
Yeah.
That's better than in London.
Oh, yeah, central London, they all close, and it's only clubs afterwards, really, isn't it? Yeah, right enough, because I used to live in England, and I was shocked and sickened when the bar closed at 11:30. I was like, what's going on? This is insane. But then we're like, I'll just go to a club. I'm like, no, I hate clubs.
Yeah, I hate clubs too.
Like
I like pubs. I like to be able to sit down on a leather chair and, you know...
And hear.
And be able to talk and play darts.
But that's a trade-off we got, because we don't have the 24-hour opening. So because... We couldn't get that. They said, well, the pubs are open until 1 then. And we were like, well, that's probably better. Mm. But yes, nothing opens on Sunday till 1 as well. Shops don't open.
Okay.
That's because of political, religious reasons, which tend to dominate a lot of the fun things that you can do.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you know, lie in on Sunday then. Checkout's probably not till 12.
Stay in bed. But what can you? Does that mean you can't go and get like a brunch somewhere? At 11 or 12 o'clock, you have to wait until 1 before everything opens.
Yeah, it's not brunch then. It's lunch.
Yeah,
no brunch is available.
Well, in Paris, it's still a brunch, even if it's like at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. That's still a brunch. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what would that be? Should afternoon be tea.
Linner. Brunner. I don't know, what's the combination between a brunch and lunch, a breakfast, lunch and dinner? It's, you know, a Berliner? That's a German sausage.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we'll just let the French have what they have then.
Yeah, they can do what they like. It's fine. They have the liberty to do that. All right, so plenty of things to do in Northern Ireland if anyone chooses to go there. So let's see, I've got sort of various other questions. What can people do if they visit? What's the atmosphere like these days? I mean, you mentioned that basically, the troubles aren't at the same level as they were in the past. You never see any trouble then?
Talk about explosions.
Yeah,
just talk about the explosions.
You don't have to talk about it.
That was such like an Alan Partridge type question.
Yeah.
So we've had the troubles. Have you ever seen troubles?
Have you ever seen an explosion?
Have you ever seen
two men burning in a tank going, oh. I just want to understand man's inhumanity to man and then make a podcast out of it.
have I?
That's an Alan Partridge reference. I haven't gone into Alan Partridge on this podcast.
Really?
Yet.
How many episodes are you in?
Well, I've done at least 275 episodes now.
Oh my God.
But there's so much to do. I mean, you can tell all we need to do is start having a conversation.
Yeah.
And then that needs to be explained. And then we have to explain the explanation. So, you know, things go on. But I've got like a plan to do episodes about comedy, and I've done Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and I've done Monty Python, I've done Ali G, and so I'm building up to doing Alan Partridge.
You just post out a couple of DVDs to your listeners,
yeah,
or send one out and then trust that person will pass it on.
Just set up like a DVD club,
yeah,
so they have to send it on to another person.
Partridge amongst the podcasters,
yeah,
just do that. Troubles, have I? Oh, the troubles I've seen.
What's the point? Why were there troubles anyway? People might not know. All right, I'm gonna give you a time limit so that you don't feel obliged to talk about this any longer than you want to. So it's now 3:03. You can talk maximum 7 minutes on this subject.
Okay, so 3:10.
So you've got 3:10, and then we can stop talking about it. But
it's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's just so confusing and so in-depth. Basically, the too long didn't read version is there's Catholics and there's Protestants.
Right.
And there's socioeconomic reasons why they don't like each other, going back years and years and years.
Yeah.
Cats and dogs,
right,
type of thing.
Yeah.
So that led to the partition of Ireland. Oh God, it goes back so long.
I think. In fact, you know what, Marcus? I'm gonna read from a text which is on a really great website, and this is the British Library, the British Library has a website called Sounds Familiar, and it's all about accents from all over the UK.
Okay.
All right, and for each region, they have a little explanation for some of the historical reasons behind the complexity of the accents. All right, so to save us both the difficulty of trying to explain this complicated and potentially explosive thing. It's awkward because we don't want to get it wrong. So anyway, I'm going to explain it from the website, okay? And the link is on the website. So Northern Ireland, the plantation of Ulster,
yes,
that began in 1609, was a planned process of settlement aimed at preventing further rebellion among the population in the north of Ireland. This part of the island was at that time virtually exclusively Gaelic-speaking and had shown the greatest resistance to English colonisation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the evil, bad English who were colonising Ireland. All right. From the early 17th century onwards, Irish lands were confiscated or taken and given to British settlers or planters who arrived in increasing numbers, bringing the English language with them. Large numbers of settlers came from southwest Scotland and thus spoke a Scots dialect, while the remaining settlers came predominantly from the north and Midlands of England. By 1830, for instance, Londonderry, which is one of the cities in Northern Ireland, had a population that was 25% Scots, 25% English, and 50% native Irish. Okay, so for some considerable time, the colonists remained surrounded by Gaelic-speaking communities in County Donegal to the west and the counties of Louth.
Louth.
How do you say it?
Louth.
Louth. Monaghan and Cavan to the south. Thus, English in the northeast of Ireland developed in relative isolation from other English-speaking areas such as Dublin. All right, so anyway, Northern Ireland was sort of populated by the English and Scots, and they were Protestant as well. But large parts of Ireland are Catholic, or certainly have been Catholic over the time. And so you've got a double conflict of the Catholics and the Protestants, who, you know, never really got on very well. And also those people who live in Northern Ireland who believe that the country should be part of the UK.
Yes.
And those who believe it should be part of the Republic of Ireland. So you've got the Republicans and the Unionists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of like two reasons why they should get on, should fight with each other.
Yeah.
And it's all the fault of the English, as usual.
Well, I think it's more of a fault just if people can't get along in general.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, well, historically maybe the English's fault, but now I think we're at a point where it's just like, just stop being dicks.
Yeah.
Like the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland is just, can you just stop getting on now?
Yeah.
You know, we've had enough of this, carry on, and, you know, it's time to just, you know,
Just make it work.
Yeah, well, we're faced with a problem because people keep leaving to go to Australia and Canada, and it's a second, you know, second famine, but a cultural famine.
Right, really?
I guess you could call it. But yeah, there's no work, and people are just so fed up with the type of stuff in the news. It's just like,
yeah.
Obviously you're going to get, you know, some degree of that everywhere, but it's just when a lot of people's experience and life is almost defined by that, then you can't blame them for, you know, going to Paris and living there or going to Australia.
Yeah.
You're just, well, I've had enough of this and I won't be part of it anymore type of thing. And those people who think that, who still live there, like, well, I'm not going to be a part of this, then that kind of just leads the two opposing groups to just continuously fight it out, you know?
Yeah, so you've got like a large, fairly silent majority of people who are just like, oh, I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
And then there are the minorities who still really hold on passionately to those beliefs, and they dominate the news.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's a pity, isn't it? What about the rest of the UK? How do you see Northern Ireland as part of the UK? Because we've got Scotland, who, you know, it seems they're halfway towards wanting to leave.
There's a lot of people in Northern Ireland who were just like, go on, do it for us, you know. It's like, go on, stick it to them. Whenever that, a lot of people here were excited. We were just sort of like, you know, it would have been so interesting had they become independent, because then there might have been more of an argument for those who want Northern Ireland to then become part of the Republic again, or become entirely independent in itself.
Yeah.
And I think that would be an interesting thing, although very unfeasible, because if we've already got, right, well, we want to be part of the Republic of Ireland, and then there's other people, no, we want to stay in the UK. Then if you throw in, how about we're independent entirely, then that's a whole other thing thrown in top of
that. But that's Europe, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if we leave the UK, we're going to be in Europe still.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, which club do we want to join?
Yeah, and Northern Ireland, there's so many people in Northern Ireland have an identity crisis. They don't know whether, you know, should they apply for an Irish passport? Should they apply for a UK? Where, if you're born in Northern Ireland, you can have either. A lot of time it comes down to, well, what is more expensive at the moment and what is quicker, because I'm going on holiday soon.
Yeah.
So I don't identify. If someone, you know, the perfect example is whenever we turned up to the hotel last night.
Yeah.
And we were checking in, and he's like, are you English? We're like, no, we're Irish. And he goes, oh, Republic. And I was like, well, no, Northern Ireland. And then we all haven't even got the key. And it was just started. And I was just like, you know what? It's too confusing. So I wouldn't feel comfortable saying I'm Irish. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying I'm British. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying I'm Northern Irish. So it's kind of like, you can say you're from the north of Ireland, but that's a very politically sensitive Republican way to say, because you're inferring that the north is part of Ireland.
Yeah.
If you say the north of Ireland rather than Northern Ireland, because that's a defined term. See, it's so...
You can't even check into a hotel.
No, it's very... We felt we should have turned around and got back on the plane just to avoid the awkwardness. So, let's go.
You can't even check into a hotel, and you can't even appear on an episode of Luke's English Podcast without all of the history being...
See, now you have to think of, are you going to say Northern Irish guest? Are you going to say Irish guest?
I'm going to have
British?
To say Northern Irish, because I don't know. I just...
I guess it differentiates it more, I guess. Well, it gives a clearer idea.
Yeah.
Although,
because unfortunately, as it stands, I mean, fortunately, unfortunately, whatever, however you want to think about it, as it stands, technically, it's Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, whether that's a good or a bad thing, I don't know, but that's just what it is at this point in time. And if it, you know, if it changes, then okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, technically, Ireland is a geographical.
Mm-hmm.
It is, that's a geographical term.
Yeah.
So you are from the north of Ireland, geographically speaking.
But I'm also from the UK.
But you're also from the UK.
And I'm also Northern Irish.
And you're also Northern
Irish. Maybe I should embrace them all then, just rather than have an identity crisis. Just one day I feel particularly Irish.
Yeah.
One day. I don't really care, because it's just the whole thing. Whatever you want to call me, I don't care.
Okay.
Unless it's incorrect.
I'll call you Marcus.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. But at the moment, the working title for this episode is Northern Ireland Accent / Marcus Keeley.
Oh.
But I could equally call it A Cup of Tea with Marcus Keeley, which is what I often call episodes where I have guests, even though we haven't drunk any tea.
But it rhymes, though.
A cup of tea with Marcus Keeley. It does rhyme, doesn't it? Maybe I'll just call it that and just leave the politics to one side.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. No, talking about the accent and about... We were talking about it earlier on. We're on 58 minutes of this episode, which I could just divide into two. Mm-hmm. That's no problem. Do you have time to talk to me a little bit about accents that you might hear in Northern Ireland?
Oh, yes.
All right. Lovely. Hi there. That is the end of part two now. And you'll be able to follow the rest of this conversation in part three. And what's going to happen in part three? Well, we will delve deeper into the accent. And we're going to look at various phrases that are very typical in the sort of dialect that you might hear in Northern Ireland, and look at some of the differences between the way that I speak and the way that Marcus speaks, or the way that certain other types of people might speak in Northern Ireland. So that's going to be good. Don't forget to visit teacherluke.co.uk, and you can leave your comments and do all the other stuff, the other amazing things that you can do there. But for now, it's time for me to just say goodbye, and you should be able to listen to part three very soon. Okay, then, that's it. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.